the human being, the insan. And the reason for the destruction of the human being, the reason behind problems and worries and issues and ups and downs that are experienced by human beings. There are many reasons. There can be many sources. But remember one thing, that the biggest means or the biggest reason or the cause for the loss or downfall of man, not just in this dunya, but in the akhirah as well, moreover in the akhirah, in the hereafter, and for this reason there's destruction and loss of for the human being. And what is that reason? The biggest reason, the biggest cause, the reason is this, that insan, the human being, and especially the mu'min, with regards to the sins, with regards to Allah Ta'ala's disobedience, we consider this as a very minor matter. And this is the reason, the cause for every problem and for every issue and worry in our life. Because when a sin, when we think that a sin is a very small thing and it doesn't matter, then that person's destruction begins at that time. Why? Why does this occur? Because guna, sin, when we consider it as insignificant, why does this cause destruction for us? It was when a sin becomes a minor matter for us, and in our eyes and our hearts and minds, there's nothing, no magnitude attached to that sin, then that person doesn't leave that sin. He continues with that sin. Because for me, if I sin and I think, oh, this sin is a small thing, it's a minor matter, it doesn't matter at all, I don't care, then I won't leave that sin. That's the reason why a human being doesn't leave sinning. It doesn't make any difference. It's okay. It's not going to make any difference. So what happens then is that the individual doesn't reject the sin, doesn't leave the sin, doesn't shun the sin. Then he sins and he sins and he sins and he sins. And then that person is buried under the mountain of sins. One sin is enough to destroy a human being. So imagine when mountain of sins is above our heads, that a person's not leaving sin, he's sinning and collecting sins and collecting sins and collecting sins, then imagine the situation that faces that human being when he sins so much, when he implements so many gunas. How can that person hope for good? How can that person think that, Allah, I don't want problems and difficulties and worries? This is nothing in the world what he will see. The reality will face is straight after death, after maut. What's the reason? What's the reason? Because we have considered today sins to be minor. We think sins are small, and then we don't think about leaving the sins. We don't care about the sins. And if someone tells us that this is a sin, we say, oh, it's okay, leave it. Don't tell me what to do. And then mutawatir, continuous, we sin and the sins pile up, and then that human being is buried under the sins. Buried under the sins. And when the whole life is buried under the sins, and not in one place, but everywhere in the Quran, Allah has defined the sins clearly, meticulously, with examples. Allah has mentioned the previous qawms, the nations. Allah has explained to us the wretchedness and the darkness attached to sin. And when we read the Quran every day, we've read the verse just now. Mawlana Sahib recited the verse, Qawm Aad, Thamud, Fir'aun, these three nations, peoples attached to Nabis. How clearly is Allah Ta'ala telling us that these nations were very high. They had the technology of their time. They had the uruj in their time. They used to carve out homes from mountains and rocks. And they were happy. They were powerful. They had wealth. And from the heavens rain would fall. They had vegetation. They had riches. But when? In their eyes, sins were minor. Because one sin equals Allah's disobedience, isn't it? This is the definition. Then what happened to these people? What happened? Allah said, I threw rocks and stones from the skies. Storms came. Earthquakes came. Destruction came. Fir'aun, Thamud, Aad, Qawm Lut. All, everywhere in the Quran, Allah defines the loss that these people had. So that we can learn today that the meaning of sin is darkness, wretchedness, that one sin will destroy a person is enough to destroy a person. One sin. The question doesn't arise that a person who believes in Allah, who believes in Allah, the individual who believes in Allah and he accepts who Allah is his Lord, and then how can you believe if you disobey Allah afterwards? What kind of belief is that? If Allah is saying, and then we are doing opposite to that. So in reality, then I'm not believing in Allah. Who am I believing in? Who am I obeying? I'm obeying my nafs, my desires. If I say I believe in Allah and I obey Allah and then I sin, then I'm not believing in Allah. I'm not obeying Allah. I'm obeying my nafs and desires. And on top of that, I say, oh, it's nothing. It doesn't make any difference. Oh, leave it. Don't tell me what to do. These are the olden people. How can it be that we don't do guna and sin? This was the people before us. It's too hard today. And we don't look back. Who is ordering, whether it's possible or impossible? Who's ordering this? We have to do it. We have to do it, whether it's hard, difficult, easy, casual. Who's ordering us to do this? Allah. So the result of sin is destruction, calamity, loss upon loss. And Allah's displeasure. And this is the biggest attack of shaitan today on mankind. That he doesn't enjoy making people sin. He likes it when he presents the sin as a small thing. All night he'll make you wake up, do ibadah, and the morning, oh, I'm fine, I can sin. And this is the tactic of shaitan. He doesn't let the human being feel that he has sinned. When a person does zina first time, he'll feel bad. Second time, third time, and fourth time he'll do zina. Openly, publicly he'll do zina. Because he's confident and he'll tell people, oh, you know, I did this, oh, I enjoyed it, you know, it was good. And he'll start showing off to people and sharing because his modesty is gone. So the first test of iman, when a person does sin, his body shakes, he trembles a bit. And then when a person loses haya, behayai in the beginning, but when a person's behaya loses modesty, then the man, the woman, they have no shame. They don't care when they sin. And they openly, confidently sin. First, shaitan will make you sin once. You'll feel bad. Then the second time, a little bit less bad. Third time, he'll make you think the sin is a very small thing. Then he'll make you sin bigger actions. Then he'll make that sin look small and a minor. Because shaitan's biggest tactic today is to present the sin to man as a minor matter. He'll never make you think that sinning is a big thing. What's the reason for this? Look at the reason. Because Allah knows how shaitan plays his games. That Allah Ta'ala made us such that yes, we can sin. Allah said that if you don't sin, then I will create another nation of mankind who I will make sin. Allah said I will make them sin. And then they will turn to me with repentance. So eventually what this means is that Allah Ta'ala has put inside us the ability, the capacity to sin. And we go towards sin. We do. But Allah Ta'ala has presented then the solution for this, isn't it? And that solution that Allah has created, He has made that eliminated from our lives. So what shaitan's done is that he doesn't want us to get to Allah. So what shaitan has done is that he has diminished and evaporated the solution that's given to us. For example, here's a cloth here. There's a big stain on this cloth. So I'll run quickly to clean that stain, won't I? A little bit of a splash, black spot. I say, oh, it's okay, I'll clean it later. Doesn't matter. Little bit of a spot, little bit of dirt. Can't see it. No one can see it. If it's big spot, big splash, I'll run to wash the clothes. So when the sin in our eyes and minds is not big, when we don't think a sin is big, then we'll say, oh, it's okay, I'll deal with it later on. So in reality, no sin is small. Every sin is a big stain on the clothes. And whoever thinks the sin is a minor stain, small speck, then what is the hal of that person? The hadith will tell us, because no one will listen if I say it. So listen to the hadith. If anyone in their minds thinks a sin is small, doesn't matter. Oh, I don't care. And the sin is disobeying Allah. And it's proven from Quranic verse or hadith. And the scholars have commentated on those verses and hadith. The muftis, the scholars, the ulema. And they present the reference of the Quranic verse or the hadith. And we say, no, it's not sin. Oh, it's not here, I can do it here. Or it's difficult for me. And dalil, you give dalil. And he gives dalil of shaitan. That can sin. Because for the sinner, the shaitan is baghwan. He is the God, the Lord, and the Master. So it's okay, look, don't tell me to leave the sins. It doesn't make any difference. It's okay, oh, Allah doesn't look at these things. It's not important. That's it. If a person has this ideology in mindset, Allahu Akbar, then the example of Fir'aun, Thamud, and Ad, and all these other examples of the Quran match that person. Imagine that what did these previous leaders and people do? Look at Fir'aun. Look at these leaders who lived, that they did zina. They committed adultery, fornication, and their brains were overwhelmed with the sin, and the haya disappeared. Their modesty disappeared. The shame disappeared. Look how much haya has gone today. You brothers know, everyone who's listening in every country, go to any place in the world today, look around. What has the link of haya with our lives today? Haya, modesty, is there any shame in the world today? Or is it gone? Izzat, respect is gone, because sin has increased so much that it has burnt haya away today. And we call ourselves Muslims. Oh, I'm the best Muslim. I am a worshipper. SubhanAllah. Reason? What's the reason? Listen to the reason, which is a severe reason. Because sin, shaitan has put sin in front of us, but he's made it look small, minor. A person, a mu'min, doesn't reject his sin, but he says it doesn't make any difference. And this is where shaitan has brought us today. And why shaitan does this? Because he had a very clever game. He's played. And this is what we need to fight today. This point I'm making today, we need to fight this game of shaitan. That when I think in my brain that this sin is small, then consider shaitan has won the game. Never should this concept come in my mind and my heart. Never should this ideology develop where I think a sin, one sin, is not important. This is a very important point to make today. Because this concept, never let this increase in your brains, in your minds, in your hearts. Straight away think, what did the Quran say about those people who thought a sin was a minor thing? Never should you even imagine that a sin is a minor thing. Because shaitan now has presented sin to you as a minor thing. For this reason, that Allah Ta'ala said, I've prepared the solution for you. Say, SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Allah has prepared the solution. All night long you've played games and sinned and done wrong. And you challenged Allah, you rejected Allah, you ate and drank and zina and disobedience. And look how much a human being can sin. But what is the solution? Allah Ta'ala says, what does the shaitan tell us about that sin? What do he say? No, it's not a big deal, don't worry. But if I say, no, Allah, I played games, Allah, I enjoyed myself and I wasted time, but it's not a small sin, then what is the solution Allah has made for us? SubhanAllah. All night long you did zina, sinned. Allah said, come back to me, SubhanAllah. Say it once to Allah, your Rabb, that Allah, I have turned back to you. Allah says, say to me once, come to me, my human being, mourning, alcohol, sin, shaitan, zina, come to Fajr and say, Allah, forgive me. Allah says, see that you haven't even said it, the sentence isn't even finished. And Allah said, see how I will forgive you. Allah Ta'ala said that I will equate you to my friends, Ghafoor al-Rahim. I won't just eliminate the sin. I will eliminate that sin. I will wipe it away from the charge sheet of the angels. It will not be written in your book of records. But on top of that, I will be Rahim. I will give you reward for eliminating that sin. SubhanAllah. But that same insan, only that human being can do tawbah, who considers sin as a big thing. Understand the difference? And the person who says sin is small, yes, then from morning, 7 a.m. onwards, sinning again. Oh, it's okay, no problem. Then tomorrow night comes, then some friends come. Oh, leave it, yaar. What's this deen you're practicing? Come on, yaar, let's do this and that. Then he plays games again, then alcohol again, then sharab, then zina again. Then morning comes, then he says, oh, I made a mistake. Then he sweats and he cries. He comes and prays, Allah, forgive me. Allah says, go, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person came and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a person sins, lots of people sin, then what does Allah Ta'ala do? Then Rasulullah sallallahu said, Allah forgives. Then he said, if he sins again the same sins, then what happens? Then Rasulullah sallallahu said, Allah forgives. Allah Ta'ala wipes away the sins. He said, if he sins again those sins, Allah forgives again. Rasulullah said, Allah's Nabi said, you can sin and sin and sin and get tired and ask for forgiveness, you'll get tired, but Allah doesn't tire of forgiving. SubhanAllah. Allah never tires of forgiving. What a great Lord and Creator we have. Allah said, I've made a system of delete button. That Allah says, you don't even press the button, delete. And Allah says, I wipe away your sins. But when do we get stuck? When we don't ask Allah for forgiveness. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah, Hazur Pur Noor, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the master of Medina, the master of the two worlds, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has given us the medicine, the solution for the disease of sinning. Rasulullah prescribed to us istighfar, small du'as, big du'as, small statements. Even if you just say astaghfirullah, that's enough to wipe away the sins. If you are sincere, in one majlis, if you say 100 times astaghfirullah, Rasulullah said, don't leave tawbah. That nation who left tawbah, repentance, and who considered their sins as a minor, as small, then never can that insan be successful in this world, in this life, because we all sin. And Allah said that when you sin, you progress. When a human being sins, then he turns back to Allah, runs to Allah, and says, Allah, astaghfirullah, forgiveness. Then does Allah increase him? Allah increases his darja. Subhanallah. Allah says, you've believed in me as your Rabb, and you know that I'm the one that forgives, and you've realized that it's your mistake. Allah said, when you know all of this, and you are scared of me, afraid of me, Allah says, I'm your Rabb, go. I've forgotten your sins, I progress you. I promote you. Imagine the relationship Allah Ta'ala has with His servants. With His servants. So brothers, today let's all think. This is a big lesson for us today. In our minds, many sins are not sins for us. Say it loudly. We think sins are small. Sins are evaporated today. If you've sinned, if I sinned, what should we do? What do we do? Tawbah. End of story. And if I don't do tawbah, then a shaitan has won the game, because from my lips he doesn't want me to say, Allah forgive me. He doesn't want me to say this, shaitan. If you think that I'm not going to ask Allah forgiveness, so I'm going to sin again tomorrow, then you'll do a bigger sin tomorrow. Allah Rabbul Alameen has given us a system that don't worry. Don't worry, you will sin again. Come back to me again. Subhanallah. What do you know? That maybe you will pass away at any time. So don't waste time. Don't hesitate in sinning, in repenting. But don't think, Allah, if I sin, then I sin again, and I'll do tawbah again, then I'll sin again. Then no, this is fraud. Fall into the hands of forgiveness. Don't follow shaitan. Nafs. Your friends come round, they influence you. It's okay, they influence you to do sin again. Your heart doesn't feel like sinning, but you run back to sin again. Then you are forced to sin again. You follow nafs again. And you don't think, oh, let's sin again. I have to go and ask Allah for forgiveness again. Oh, I can't be bothered to do that. Let's just leave tawbah. A person thinks like this. Nafs makes you sin again. Then it'll make you sin again tomorrow. For example, he says, after today, I'm not going to watch this program again. Because the programs are in our pockets today, aren't they? We start praying salah after salah. We start watching the screen. A good picture of a woman comes out on the screen. She's naked and is in front of... And you were phoning someone and you diverted to the screen where the nakedness is there. Today we have technology. We have the methodology. It's on the top of our head. Suddenly you see that. That stop, say, Allah, forgive me. I've seen this. I took a bit of enjoyment. Allah, forgive me. Inshallah, I won't do this action again. Allah, please forgive me. Allah, forgive me. Mazboot, solid action. Maut comes, Jannah. You'll get paradise because you did tawbah. You asked Allah for forgiveness. Is this hard, brothers? Is it difficult? It's not difficult. You've sinned. Okay, you've sinned. Fine. Fine. Because we are capable of sinning. Allah's made us like this. But after sinning, straight away, what should we do? Two things. If you think a sin is small, and then you will never ask for tawbah. And if you don't ask for tawbah, the sins will pile up, amass. And the punishments of Jahannam will be waiting for us. And in our graves will be the fire. And the fire will be waiting. You'll die. As soon as you die, you'll fall into the fire. Allah will say, you madman. At least once you should have asked me for forgiveness. Straight away, what difference would it have made if you'd asked me for forgiveness? Those qawms that I destroyed before you, the wahid, one reason was this, that till the last moment Allah said, I sent angels to those people, the previous nations, and the prophets begged them that once do tawbah to Allah, ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah will wipe away your sins. But the reason for their destruction and loss was that they never asked Allah for tawbah, forgiveness. Rather than forgiveness, they said, oh, why should I stop sinning? Why have you taken me out of here? Half of Pakistan, half of the country is gone. Why have you taken me off my seat? He's eaten half the country, consumed half the wealth. And he says, why have you taken my seat away from me? These are the people. Summum bukumun umyun. Will these people be forgiven? What have I done wrong? When did I sin? Why have you taken my power away from me? People say this. Allahu Akbar. They openly, flagrantly, blatantly, those who are immersed in sin. Rasulullah explained and defined himself 100 times. Rasulullah said, Astaghfar. A human being should never think he's not sinning. The Prophet, you sin in your minds, in your thoughts, or with your body. We have one tool. Delete, 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 delete. Astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. Without thinking, say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Keep on wiping away the sins upon sins upon sins. Don't we sin on the phone? Oh, quickly, quickly, stop this, stop this. So Allah Ta'ala, see how we delete messages on the phone? Allah has given us a message. You think bad, you want to do bad, delete straight away. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Just like you delete the messages, delete the typing. But shaitan doesn't want us to do astaghfirullah because he has taken away from our minds the magnitude of that sin. He said, no, 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 you've done a good thing. You've done a good action. Remember, a pious deed has no power. Yes, because shaitan, the master of sinning, 600,000 years he sinned. Yes, 600,000 years he did ibadah. But he could not trust his belief because he disobeyed Allah. Allah Ta'ala expelled him. After 600,000 years, Allah said that, how did you dare to not obey me in the whole universe? You are one unable, you shaitan. Have you seen a bird? Allah Ta'ala said, rejects me, or an ant, or a mosquito, or a twig, or the leaves, or the winds, or the stars, or the sun, or the moon, or the seas, or the oceans, or the waves, or the fish, or the spiders, or the fly. Allah says, give me any example of any animal creature. For 1 second, does any of this reject me, disobey me? Allah says, if any of the animals in the world disobey me for one split second, they die straight away. Straight away. So tell me, we human beings, how severe we are drowned in the sins today. All day long, all night long. Brothers, in no way should we sin at all at any moment. In no way should we sin at any moment. Allah Ta'ala says that we whole of the deen defined to the minutest matter or action. We should have no doubt in our minds or hearts about what is a sin and what Allah Ta'ala has told us to do and what not to do. So I'll give you an example about sin so that we get some more benefit and we understand better. Shall I give you an example? Very good example. Maybe we'll understand that, that we never thought that this was a sin, that this is a very big sin indeed. I will give you an example of life, because shaitan has made this to us look very minor indeed. A person comes to us, for example, and what time? What time shall we meet tomorrow? Okay, let's meet at 2 p.m. But I've got to go to work. No, 2 p.m. we'll meet. And then we forget about 2 p.m. after we've told him that we're going to meet him at 2 p.m. We forget. We have no regard. And he stood there from 2 p.m. that he gave me the time. When you will give it to me, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Oh, when? 10 a.m. 10 p.m. come outside the masjid. And no one's there. He stood there waiting and waiting. So many examples like this in life. There's so many examples of breaking the promise in our lives. So much breaking of promise in our life. It's just come into our life. We should think ourselves that in our eyes there's no importance about breaking of the promise. No importance. Is this not the case, my friends? Tell me. Let's think ourselves. Don't we practice like this? So commonly we break the promise. Oh, leave it. What difference does it make, we say? What difference does it make? In other words, that forget about doing this with those people who are maybe not common in the way that we believe, etc. We make a promise and then we say, oh, so I break the promise. He said, you promised, you're a Muslim. You promised to me that you're going to do this or give me this. And we say, oh, no, leave it. Afterwards, we walk back away from what we promised. This is such a big sin. Because we haven't realized that this is a bad action. Oh, I'm just coming. Huni I am. I'm just coming. But we don't know what this means. I'm just coming. Oh, I'll phone you tomorrow. But we don't know about tomorrow. I'll give it to you tomorrow. I promise you, I'll give it to you tomorrow. I'm doing it now. Right now. In our whole lives, our businesses run like this. All our business transactions. This has happened now. Then we talk about person. The other person knows he's not going to do this for me. He's not going to do this for me. This is not going to happen. This is not going to occur. And today, in this day and age, if a person fulfills his commitment, wow, he's a sign of a believer. The sign of the wali of Allah is what? And this is akhlaq and conduct and character of the human being. And this is wilayat. This is the sign of the wali of Allah. And so important is it, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his whole life he presented examples to us how to fulfill the promise, the commitment. Very long time ago, before the prophethood, before Nubuwwah, there's an event in Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi narrated this in his hadith collection, that Abdullah bin Hamad radiyallahu anhu, at that time he wasn't a Muslim, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a transaction with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, giving, taking, buying, selling. And there was some money less in the transaction. He said, okay, I'll just bring the money, the rest of the money, the balance, he said. I'm just coming. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, okay. Rasulullah stood or sat. He said, okay, fine, I'll wait for you. He said, I'm just going home and I'll bring the balance of the funds. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days later, by chance, he was walking past. And the Prophet ﷺ was stood in the same place waiting. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This was before Nabuwwah, before the Wahi. This was the hal of Islam. Before Rasulullah ﷺ was announced as the Nabi. The sketch. And when he passed by, he said, huh? Oh, he said, "Oh, I can't even remember, I forgot, I promised you, I just come with the money." And Rasulullah said, "You promised to me, you gave me difficulty." That's all that Rasulullah said. "That you give me difficulty, a burden, 3 days I'm waiting for you here, that you're just coming. You said, I'm just coming." So brothers, do we have importance on our promises, commitments? This is the importance of promise and commitment. Rasulullah did not move from there, so that people realize that breaking the promise or breaking the commitment is a very bad action indeed. It's a big sin. It's a sin. We cannot imagine how bad the sin is. I'll give you another example. I think this is in the Sahih Muslim, this hadith. And this was the time of Islam, the generation of Islam, and it was the expedition of Badr and the initiation of Islam deen, and very hard times for the Muslims. There weren't many Muslims, there wasn't much power, the enemies were high in number, they had tools, they had resources, the Muslims didn't have resources. And at that time, one person was valuable, one mu'min was valuable, one stick was valuable. And two Sahabi came at that time, they came into the Maidan, and they were great Sahaba. And people are happy, "Oh, our numbers have increased. Two more Sahaba have come to increase our numbers." They've given us, I think, Hazrat Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, and Hazrat, the other Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, was there also present, two companions. And the Muslims were happy, and they went straight to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, "Welcome, welcome, come." And they said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have just come from Makkah, we are coming straight here. And in the way, the people, the opposition, they grabbed us." They're telling their scenario. Then Rasulullah said, "Then, and the enemies grabbed us, and they escaped. Arrested us, and we said, 'We're going to Medina.' They said, 'You can't go to Medina.' Khair, we started talking. Then at the end, we made a deal with them. They said, 'Okay, promise to us.' The enemy took the promise. Subhanallah, imagine the enemy is taking the promise. The promise to us, the enemy said to Hazrat Udayf and the other Sahabi, that we'll let you go, but when you go to Medina, you won't fight against us. Promise that you won't fight against us." And they said, "Yes, we promised you," these two Sahaba. And they told Rasulullah some of this story. So Rasulullah's beloved Nabi, "We promised to them, but now we are here with you." We didn't say this for real, we were just pretending so we could get out of their grip. So we can come to you, so we can escape. So now we're here with you. Tell us what to do. We are mashallah with you, and we will join with you." Rasulullah's answer, subhanallah. Allah's Nabi said, "No way. Impossible. No way will you join us. Go back. Go back away from this Maidan. You promised to them you will not fight against them, so fulfill your promise." Subhanallah. And the next statement, Rasulullah said, that we Muslims, we never break our promises. We never break our commitments. Allah is enough for us. Subhanallah, subhanallah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Imagine how much importance there must be, weight on the promise of a Muslim. And we who don't break the promises, will there be a punishment? Of course there'll be a punishment. Of course there'll be a punishment. What a big sin it must be. Now we've seen the example. There's no small sin. Remember, I told you this. Sin equals punishment. No sin equals small. So what's the punishment? In hadith of Mishqat, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates hadith. Imagine the punishments of the sins. What punishments Allah Ta'ala set aside. Every sin has a punishment attached to it. Every sin. La dini lamanna ahada. Allahu Akbar. This is the hadith. La dina. That individual, liman ahada, who breaks his promises openly, blatantly, la deen, that person is devoid of deen. He has no deen, no iman, who breaks his promises, breaks his commitments. Now tell me, that has shaitan not presented this sin as a small thing today? And what azab will we get on the day of judgment? We do everything, worship, pious, ibadah, but we break promises, we break commitments. In our homes, we promise our children, we break them. We promise to the wife, we break them. We promise relatives, we break them. We promise in business, we break the promises. Buying and selling, we make promises, we break them. Then Allah said, la deen. Sahih hadith. That person is devoid, empty of the deen. Don't look at his face. Don't look at his actions. Look at his actions. Don't look at his ibadah, worship, status, title. No. Muslim character. Muslim is recognized by character. This is the ta'leem, the education. Rasulullah said the Muslim can never break his promise. Impossible. This is not the status of a Muslim that he breaks the promise. And we believe in Allah and trust in Allah. Because when a person sins, then he doesn't trust in Allah at that time when he's sinning. When he's sinning, he's not trusting Allah. He's trusting his nafs. He says, I'll give you tomorrow the check. The day after the check. I speak on business now. Come tomorrow, brother. Come the day after, brother. Big promises the insan makes. Because he knows, I'm not going to give. I'm not going to take. I'm not going to fulfill the promise. I'm not going to do this. I'm just delaying it. Allah says, La deena. He has no deen. The person who doesn't have deen. If Allah Ta'ala is saying he doesn't have deen, then tell me what salah will he show to Allah in the grave? Which umrah will he show to Allah in the grave? He has no deen. Which deed will he present to Allah? Allah will say that you left your deen in the world when you broke the promises. Why? Allah said, for this reason, you sinned for this reason. Allah said, I gave you hukum, order, that no person who says he's a mu'min should break the promise, commitment, and you sinned and you broke the promise. So Allah Ta'ala said that I took you away from the deen due to this sin. So after that, every sin, if we start looking at our sins today, my brothers, tell me, what is sin? What is sin? Doesn't shaitan today make sin look small in front of our eyes and hearts and our minds? He does. So my brothers, my colleagues, this is the meaning of life. We need to live our lives carefully, especially the mu'min, the believer. Don't imagine doing these actions. And such a big learning this is for us today. Isn't it? Pay attention to what we just discussed today. A Muslim, his level, his status, doesn't matter where he is, what country, what society, what village, what country, what hemisphere, what continent, by his character should demonstrate what? That he will never break the commitment and the promise. No. In every part of the world, any corner of the world, even if you're amongst the opposition, the example of Rasulullah, beware. Beware. Don't say, oh, these people, they're not like us, they don't do this and that. Whatever country you're in, the promises you've made, and those promises you've made are in the form of the passport today. So when you get the passport, you're making the promise. Every law you have to do amal, because you've made a promise at that time when you took the nationality. You promised that you won't break the law. So today, if we're destroying the laws in that country and spreading fitna, can he be Muslim? The Quran says la deen, he has no deen. A Muslim cannot do these actions. And when we're committing those sins, then oh brothers, your mazhab is not giving you this deen. And those who don't practice deen, they know that this person is not a Muslim. A Muslim will never carry out these actions. That country you're in, they have laws, qanun, and he's not observing the laws, whatever the laws are. Well, for example, if you don't obey the laws of the country that you're living in, if it is a country that's run by non-Muslims, then Sharia says if you're not going to follow their laws, then leave that country. If those laws are not telling you to, preventing you from salah, going to the masjid or practicing deen, and if those laws in that country don't prevent you from practicing your deen, then you have to respect them, observe them and practice them. You have to live your life according to those laws. How can you eat? How can you consume wealth and hide wealth and cheat and fraud? In no way or place does our Sharia allow this, because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this was the plain of Badr, where we were desperately in need for Sahaba, extra resources. Rasulullah said, go, we cannot accept you in this expedition. You have promised to them that you will not fight against them. You have to observe that promise. Whether we win or lose, Allah is enough to give us the victory. Subhanallah. And we want to live in a country, then live as a Muslim, observe the laws, respect the laws, so that the Muslim must swear by Allah, without tabligh, without propagation, one Muslim's body and life is enough tabligh to the people around him. This is my iman today. One Muslim's body, one Muslim's life, in whichever society you're living in, the whole of the dunya should respect. The history shows that in Hindustan, when the Walis of Allah reached the Indian subcontinent, their lives and history bears testimony to this fact, that they went from one part of the world and the sun would rise and set. And those people, when they saw the qawm, what qawm came, when they saw they did the business transactions with the people who had no deen, they were non-Muslims there at that time. And when their women would walk around, then when their gaze would go down, and the women, they stood in line. This is such human being, and men, we've never seen such modesty and shame, that we're walking around doing everything, they're not even looking towards us. They're not even seeing us. So who were these individuals? So when they saw these people, those women, they asked them, who are you? Which people are you? Where have you come from? They said, our deen doesn't allow that we look at a ghair mahram, non-permissible woman. This is the history of Hindustan, Indian subcontinent that we have descended from. Yes? They said, who are you though? They said, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this lesson. They said, if your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you this lesson, then tell us right to him about us that we are thirsty for this. Who are you? What is your lifestyle? We've never seen such civil and civilized life, such noor and iman and belief that's dripping from your faces, siddaqah and honesty. And look today, Hindustan, Indian subcontinent, all of the Muslims, they are there due to these teachings. And then what tabligh did they do? They demonstrated the honesty. Hazrat Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti Rahmatullah, what did he go to do? He had the same Quran and the Quran that we've come to this country with today. And we have titles and long, long titles and alqabat. And how sad that we don't demonstrate this theme, because we don't have the character. Our character is against Islam. Our masjids are giving the dawah against the deen, the honesty. Our lifestyle is giving the dawah against the deen of Islam. They see us from far, oh look at their masjid, big, but inside empty, devoid of the blessings and the public that come out of salah, out of the masjid. Their characters are divergent and so opposite to Islam. Lying, breaking promises, and against the laws of that land. No respect. Am I right or am I wrong, my friends? Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? Whether otherwise one Muslim who came to this land, subhanAllah, today the whole map should have changed. Yes, la yukallifu nafsun. Allah Ta'ala says, la yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'aha. I don't force. Islam is never spread through force. No burden. Islam is never propagated through force. It's the law of Allah. Don't force. No compulsion. Subhanallah. Islam spread through muhabbat, through love, through sharing and teaching. A wali Allah, before you see the wali Allah, his face is dripping with nur, and the individual before seeing his blessed face becomes the Muslim. Yes, Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali said that when I used to wander around in India, he was such a great wali Allah. When he used to walk, travel, and there were people who used to see him in Hindustan, the committees, the rich, the landlords, and the people who were the heads of the committees. And for us, we don't have this classification now in this land we're living now. But he said, I didn't do anything. I just used to go and visit that community, wander around a little bit. Half of those high status people will become Muslim straight away. And then when they said, what should we do? This individually forces us to come into Islam, that we can swear and promise that his face proves that he is an honest person. Anwar Shah Kashmiri. And we have to leave our deen because this person has to be right. But inside we have evil, darkness, breaking promises, gangster lifestyles. Then what nur will come in our lives? What salah will bring us, demonstrate that we are believers? Which Quran, my brothers? Tazkiyah, purification. Let's improve ourselves. Let's wash ourselves. Improve our characters. Clean ourselves. So what's the sabak for today, brother? Shall I repeat it? The lesson for today, the biggest lesson, is that don't consider a sin as a minor. True promise. If you sin, what do we need to do? If I sin, what do I need to do? Repent, do tawbah, that's it. Sin equals sin. No minor, no major, no doubt. Sin equals sin. Who has put the doubt into our minds about sin and how big is a sin? Shaitan, wretched shaitan. Allah's Rasul said, the sin is bigger than a mountain. Sahabah Karam said, those sins that you think are small and minor, speck of dust, we thought they were like mountains. We couldn't imagine that we were sinning and doing wrong. That we were not sinning. So, we should not be afraid that, oh, if we ask Allah for tawbah, how will Allah forgive us? We'll sin again tomorrow. Doesn't matter. Sin as much as you. If you sin as day upon day, then ask Allah for forgiveness straight away. Beware if this all comes to your mind. No. I've not sinned. It's a small sin. I can't ask Allah for forgiveness. I'm going to sin again tomorrow. Then the destruction will start. No, say it. If they have sinned, I've definitely sinned, and I've got to eliminate this sin. So the example I gave you today, at least take one example in your life, and then especially that example of that sin. What did I say today? What did we share? The sin of breaking the promise and the commitments. Never, if you say to a brother or a person, then think, can I do this? If I can't do this, sorry, I cannot promise to you that I can do this. He'll be unhappy with you. He won't be happy. And the reason, at least you won't lose your iman, at least you won't degrade your iman. You say, look, I'll give it to you tomorrow, and tomorrow will never come. I'm just coming, and it won't come. So I will remind you something so we can revise this lesson to it, because you have a link with the tasawwuf. That if you've taken the hand of a sheikh, you've taken the hand of a sheikh, haven't you? And if you've taken the hand of a sheikh, let me see how many people have taken the hand of the sheikh. SubhanAllah. So did you promise to your sheikh anything when you took his hand? When you did the bayah, did you promise? You didn't. And without the promise, there cannot be no bayah. The Quran says, where did bayah come from? From the Quran, Surah Mumtahinna. Read it, O Prophet, O my Nabi, the believing women will come to you. The Muslim women, the believing women will come to you and the men. Give them the bayah and take the promises from them. Without the promise, there can be no bayah. No pledge of allegiance. That you will have promised to your sheikh something. I don't say anything. Allah is the witness. May Allah keep us steadfast on this promise. Otherwise the situation would be the same. Breaking the promise. This is the biggest breaking of the promise. The worst. Rather, we are breaking the promise we made to Allah at that time. And Allah has explained, it's not your hand. Allah Ta'ala says, it's not your hand, O my Nabi. It's Allah's hand at that time. So is this a small reward? Is this a small reward? That if a person is steadfast on this, then this is a small reward. Allah has made us do this. So we should appreciate this, value this, revise your promises, the promises you made to your sheikh, that how much we are steadfast on the promises we made to our sheikh. And if we don't observe those promises, then we are worse than those who commit the sins. We do propaganda. Oh, I'm clean, and degrade someone. Oh, look at him, Hazrat Sahib, he has these defects, he does this, he allows this, he does these actions to justify our own sins. Brothers, then we are in a more dangerous situation at that time. When a person starts to do this, he's sinning. He doesn't concentrate on his sins. No, it's too hard, it's strict, I can't do this, I can't do these actions, that action, X, Y, Z, and Hazrat does this, he's doing this. You are breaking your promises. Remember, when a person does tawbah, and these are Quranic verses that we are promising upon, when Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Mumtahinna, then today the same promises are taken from the Kamil Sheikh, the complete Sheikh. He'll take no more, no less. The same promises are done today when the hand is taken in the hand. And the Quran, if we're saying that no, this is wrong, then are we saying the Quran has done excess against us? No, Sheikh. Remember, when a Sheikh gives bayah, then he is taking the same promises, the same pact, than the verse of the Quran in the Surah Mumtahinna, the same promises that Allah Ta'ala said we need to make. So when Allah gives that reward, we're still alive. If we've sinned, do istighfar again, repent again, and if we've broken those promises, come in and say, Allah, after today, I will fulfill my promise 100%. We haven't died, have we? We're still alive. So I'm reminding, so it doesn't occur that we leave in this way, in this day. Today, let's wake up. Wake up, the biggest promise we made to our Shaykh, through whom we will get through those promises, we'll attain Jannah. And the value of those promises, that if we are steadfast on those promises, then subhanAllah, with the fadl of Allah, then we will commit very few sins indeed. Then destruction will come, darkness will come, we won't break commitments and promises. All of this occurs at that time, when we will act against that promise that we made to Allah subhanAllah. So let's look inside our hearts and our minds and our lives. We are all to die. Maut will come, my friends. So we've taken bayah. What's this preparation for? The grave, the qabr. Yes? Remember this. So let's make our lives proper. The promises we made, the pact we made. Let's be steadfast on this with the fadl of Allah. And this is called istiqamat. Steadfastness. It won't take long. Don't think I'll live like this for so many years. I have to do this. My brothers, maybe tomorrow the decision will be made. Maybe tomorrow Allah will call us. Who knows when maut will come? Oh, 60 years I'll live. It's too hard to fulfill these promises. Let me live until 80 years, then I'll fulfill. Haven't we seen how many brothers have passed away in the past weeks, months, years, then? So consider that this is one night, a promise for one night. Maybe tomorrow I'll go, and then it's Jannah upon Jannah. Allah, maybe will give us the next night. Then Allah, this is the next night. Oh, okay, this is my last night. Today I won't do any sins. I promise to Hazrat, I'll be steadfast on this. It's only one day left, isn't it? Every day we should consider as the final day. Every night we should consider as the final. Not that I'm going to remain alive for 40 years. How easy this is, isn't it? If someone says to you, it's only one fast or 30 fasts. Okay, then we'll all keep the fast if it's just one day, isn't it? Won't we? Because the next day, oh no, let's keep another fast. Okay, we'll fast. And then 30, 40 days. If you say to him, one go, you have to keep 30, 40 fasts, he'll get scared. So in reality, the promise you made, one day, few hours. Few hours, then another few hours. Because maut may come at any time. So build it step by step, hour by hour, hours by hours. So don't think you're going to live for decades and years and you have to observe these promises. No, say just for a few hours, I won't do this sin, I won't do this sin, and this sin, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and this. So break it down to a few hours and minutes, then you'll get Jannah every few hours, enjoyment every few hours. And after dying, then the Mashaykh will come to receive you. Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani will come to receive you. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband will come to receive you. They do come to see their children after death. They come to the Alam-e Barzakh. This is not the grave. It's a phase of life. Barzakh. Qabr is for those who get punishment. The pious people, it's not a tight house. He goes into Alam-e Barzakh. into a different phase. His relatives are there. Jannah and Jahannam, two forms. One is barzakh. There's Jannah and barzakh. Reality of paradise. You know, the real Jannah, you'll get after the day of judgment, after Hisab Kitab. But when we speak about Jannah, that's about barzakh, when the ruh attains the ruh. Say subhanallah. A person hasn't died, he gets a reward straight away. He gets into barzakh. Everyone is in barzakh. All people are collected and gathered in barzakh at this moment in time. And they ask, ah, how is he? Relatives will ask, where's he gone? I left him. Is he there? Your sister, where's she? How's my daughter? How is she? She'll ask her son, didn't you go there? No, she's fine. She's okay. How is that person? This was our neighbor. How is she? I had a friend. They speak, they exchange communication, say subhanallah. In Alam-e Barzakh, this is a transitional state. Like you go in a plane, 8 hours, you open eyes this morning, you're in Lahore or Delhi. And then suddenly the environment changes and the different people come and meet you, friends. Then you don't even think about back, you came from England. Same thing in Barzakh. Soon as you leave this world, soon as maut happens, think what is death. That you get an injection. You know, you get given an anesthetic and you go unconscious. That's it. That's death. Don't worry about death. Death is going to come. Prepare for death. Prepare for death in such a good way, just like when you fall unconscious, when they give you the anesthetic, you fall asleep, then there's an operation, then they bring you back to awakening, then they give you a cup of tea to recover, have tea, now you're awake again. This is what happens, isn't it? So the same way you get the injection of death, subhanAllah, when you come awake again, then for the Jannati is food and rewards, and now you're waking up again in your proper place of barzakh. And then those who didn't do good deeds, who broke the promises, who were sinning, who never did istighfar, never did dhikr, then for those is the punishment in the grave. May Allah forgive. And there's dozakh, hellfire for those people in the grave. So what I'm trying to say, there's so much to say if we talk, but our habit is I don't say much. And let's conclude here. It's gone a bit long today. But alhamdulillah, let's pay attention and let's make this time. Not on this, don't look at the time. Look at me. Don't look at the clock time and time again. Look at what I'm saying. So many people, I see one brother, he keeps on looking at the watch. Why do you keep looking at your watch, brother? Yes, if you don't like what I'm saying, then leave. If you keep looking at the watch, this is disrespect. Looking at the watch, I'm speaking to you, you have no interest, you keep looking at your watch. The time. Same thing in it. Same thing's going to happen. What's going to happen? What's the point of sitting down? The same time. Is there any benefit of this person sitting here? Then why do people come and keep looking at the time of the watch? I don't understand. So make a promise to Allah that the promise you've made today, you'll stay steadfast on this, alhamdulillah. And this is a short revision we've done today. May Allah Ta'ala make us pure, clean, and live a good life. And after death, may Allah Ta'ala give us a good conclusion. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.